All right. This is the New Glarus Brewing Podcast with Dan Carey. I am Scott May. Dan Carey is up on the hilltop doing busy things today, but I am very excited because I have one of my favorite people from the town of New Glarus here with me today, Chuck Bigler. Chuck, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks.
Chuck is a really interesting dude, I think. He owns, and now I need to get the pronunciation of this correct.
Okay.
Is it Pimples?
It's Pimples.
It is Pimples, because I've heard Pumples, and I've heard Pimples.
Just the way you wouldn't think it would be. It's Pimples.
Just the way you wouldn't think it was, because it's like P-U-E-M-P-E-L-S.
Yep, and I think at one time it probably had an umlaut
over
the U, but...
But, yeah, well, you know, that's the thing about these old spots in Wisconsin. They tend to have very Germanic sort of names.
And it was in the Pimple family, so there was no choice but to keep the name the same.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's first start for the uninitiated. What is Pimple's Tavern?
Pimple's Tavern is, I consider it a historic landmark gathering place.
Gotcha. Oh, it's got the plaque right on it.
Yeah, it does. And it was founded in 1893.
All right.
By Joe and Bertha Pimple.
Gotcha.
They started out the business as a tavern, and they ran it until 1935. And then their stepson, Otto.
Mm-hmm.
Otto was born above the bakery. His last name was really Wolf.
Gotcha.
His parents passed away of the Spanish flu when he was 3 years old, which was, if you don't know, it was COVID of the early 1900s.
Oh, yeah. You look at the numbers on the Spanish flu.
Unbelievable.
It's insane. And it happened so long ago that you see the numbers. They don't really mean anything.
No.
But when you start hearing stories like this, and it's like, this is how it affected families.
Right. And it affected children more so, or adults more so than children, from what I understand. And he was 3 years old. Both his parents died on the same day. The Pimples were running the tavern, didn't have any children. They went up to the bakery, brought Otto down.
Mm-hmm.
And whether he was adopted or not, I'm not sure.
No one was cross-checking papers.
They were just glad that Otto had a roof over his head.
Because this was, this was the 30s now.
About 1916.
Oh, okay.
And they brought him down when he was three, and they raised him. And when, in 1935, he took over the tavern. He had changed his name to Pimple. I only knew him as Otto Pimple. I was surprised when I heard the story of him being Otto Wolf.
Yeah.
And so he moved in that apartment above the bar when he was three. He moved out when he was 78. He lived in that same apartment above the tavern. He grew up there, married, raised a family, and retired and never left that apartment. So he took over the tavern in 1935. Him and his wife, Hazel, ran it until I bought it in 1993.
Gotcha.
So there's basically three owners.
Oh, stretching all the way back to
1893, which is, to me, is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, that you can have it's funny, you'll hear stories like that every once in a while where it'll be like, you know, a great-grandpa, a grandpa, and a son.
Yeah.
And it's like, but the generation stretched back to like 1850, right?
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Time works in a weird way when you start thinking about how long a lifetime actually is. And what I really love about the story of Pimples is it is one of the oldest established taverns in the whole state. It's
got to be close.
It's got to be close.
But when you look at the situation, like Toffler's has been a continuous tavern.
Gotcha.
Since 1880 something.
Yeah.
The hotel downtown was established as a tavern in 1853.
Gotcha.
Now it has over time has changed ownership a lot and is currently vacant.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that'll be changing in the near future.
Well, New Glarus is such a funny case like that because towns tend to grow. Well, small towns, they shift, right? They'll, the character of the town sort of changes after a few generations. New Glarus is different, though. It seems like New Glarus, you know, someone took a photograph of the place, and then it just said, well, that's what we're going to do until the end of time.
Well, I always think of all the towns that you travel through and see empty gas stations.
Yeah.
Run-down feed mills. You know, New Glarus, two gas stations right on Main Street, and one is now a cheese store, and the other is a gift shop right across the street from each other.
Yep.
They're basically built over the existing building because they couldn't tear them down, or this highway department wouldn't have let them rebuild it.
Yeah.
So they just put a roof over the top of it and a balcony and open back up as a different establishment. The feed mill is now Fat Cat Coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, the lumberyard is a fest house. We're very, very fortunate that respect.
Yeah, all the buildings and all the infrastructure has been maintained and sort of kept up. So it has a very, when you come here and you walk around, you know, it is sort of like you're stepping back into time. And when you walk into Pimples, it is one of my favorite things. And, you know, I've known you, you know, probably since, I moved to New Glarus, I think in 2013.
And that's when I probably first met you.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So it's been about 11 years.
Yeah.
And Pimples was always my favorite place to go because you walk in there and the murals on the wall are gorgeous. The wood all looks, it looks properly patinaed, right? It looks like a place that people have loved for a very long time and kept sort of in its natural state.
It was so easy to do because there was no need to change. I mean, everything was there in perfect shape.
Yeah.
All I had to do was just maintain it. I didn't have to rebuild it. I didn't have to rewrite the book. I mean, it was there.
Yeah, well, that maintenance stuff, though, you know, and I think, you know, it's easy to downplay. Like, all I had to do was maintain it. But, you know, so many people don't.
No.
Right? Like, many people don't. And they just have something and they think, well, you know, I'm not going to put the time or the money or the effort into maintaining as I go. And then I'll just put out the fires as they come up.
Well, Formica was very much easier to clean than hardwood, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that we went through that phase where everybody was replacing the old wood with plastic for mica because it was easier to maintain.
Yeah.
And luckily we chose to
maintain.
Yeah, sand down the bar and refinish it.
And it's absolutely gorgeous. It really is. And I love you always have a number of our beers on tap, but you always have like one handle for, what is it, hams?
Got to have something different.
Something different. But it's always like hams or something like that. And it's like, you have to have that beer on draft. Because it's just, you know, it's the thing I love about Wisconsin and Wisconsin sort of culture and our tavern culture is, you know, we don't really seem to view bars and taverns as a place just to imbibe. Or, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's not like I'm just going to go here and have like five beers and get crazy. No, this is really sort of like community living rooms around here. It gives people a place to go and just like talk to their neighbor. We seem to really embody that. You know, having been in the tavern business now for, you know, a very, very long time.
31 years.
Do you find that sort of, that's the way it is? Or does it sort of progress throughout the night, I guess?
Our busiest time is the daytime.
Gotcha.
And what I find is, we're probably the place where you go to open your mail.
Yeah.
You park your car, you get your mail, and you bring it in the bar and have a beer while you open it and look at the bills.
You probably need that beer. You're just opening the bills.
Makes it a little less painful.
I like that. I like that a lot.
And if somebody drives by and sees your car, they assume you're getting the mail. So
Well, there you go. That's very advantageous placement right next to the post. And for a long time, I think we didn't have mailboxes here. Like, you had to go to the post office. I think they got mail. I think they got mailboxes like 4 years before I moved here.
Yeah, I still can't get one because I'm too close to the post office. So I have I have to rent a box and go get my mail.
They're like, Chuck. We are not delivering your mail three doors down.
And it doesn't make any sense because you have to pay $70 a year to have a mailbox
gotcha.
To go get your mail. But if you put one up in front of your house, they'll deliver it for nothing. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but I have no choice. So.
That is funny. So one of my favorite features of your bar is the murals. And I know there's a story behind them that I always kind of get wrong.
There's an incredible story behind those. Back in the early 1900s, Pimples, besides being a tavern, was also a boarding house.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that came over here from Switzerland obviously did not have a place to stay. So a lot of them stayed at above Pimples while they could get established. A good example was Arnold Weezer, who founded the Swiss Embroidery Factory.
Okay.
When he came to America, he knew what he was going to do, but did not have a place to stay. So he stayed above Pimples. It was 60 cents a day. That included three meals and a bed.
Yeah.
And like Arnold's first choice was to build his embroidery factory before he worried about a place to live, because he was living for 60 cents a day above Pimples. But Albert Struben, who was over here, he was staying upstairs. Well, suddenly he could not afford his room and board anymore. So he asked the Pimples if he could possibly paint four murals on the wall in exchange for his room and board. So Joe and Bertha Pimple found him four postcards. One is the hometown of Mrs. Pimple in Switzerland.
Gotcha.
The other one is Mr. Pimple's favorite music, which was Oppenzeller music.
Mm-hmm.
The third one was a story of Andreas Hofer, who was an Austrian businessman who argued against Napoleon. He lost the argument, and the mural depicts Napoleon's troops taking away Andreas to be executed.
And, what tends to happen when you argue with those kinds of folks?
You don't win.
You don't win. Even if you win, you kind of lose.
You lose.
Yeah.
The fourth mural is the Battle of the Red Bone Church, where Wisconsin fought one of its most famous battles, and that was in Mississippi. So they had these four postcards. They asked Albert if he could paint them. We would love to go back and watch him do it, because he obviously didn't rent a lift from Home Depot.
Yeah.
He had to build some kind of scaffolding. He painted them while the bar was full of people.
So just kind of in there all day working at it.
I assume they were heckling him constantly about missing a spot. But he started in June of 1913. He finished on New Year's Eve of 1913. And they are very intricately done. They're
gorgeous.
They're unbelievable.
They're absolutely gorgeous.
And they're painted right on the wall. And when he got done, he asked Joseph if he liked them. And Joe said, "My God, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Why are you asking
me
that?
Why are you asking me this?"
And he said, "Well, I had never done anything like this before. I was just desperate for a place to stay. I thought I'd give it a whirl." And
that's hilarious.
And he did. And 110 years later, they're still on the wall.
See, and that's what I love about, you know, New Glarus and Wisconsin just sort of in general is, you know, a lot of places get sort of European settlement, right? And they get groups of settlers coming through. But after, you know, 20, 30, 40,
it 50, just kind of fades
it just kind of fades away.
Yeah.
But in Wisconsin, it doesn't ever seem to.
It grows.
We just get more stubborn with it.
Yep.
And as the world moves on, we seem to get more determined
and
not
to.
And
they stick to their areas.
20
miles north, Mont Horeb, it's all Norwegian.
All Norwegian. And here it's all Swiss.
All Swiss.
And if you get up to Milwaukee, you're going to run into the Polish and the Irish.
Which makes it nice for traveling. You can pick your theme, I guess.
Oh, yeah. And then, the only people who sort of seem to just take over the whole state was the Germans.
Yeah.
It seems to be Germans everywhere.
All over. Yeah.
And then when everyone who's not German in the state of Wisconsin just kind of pretends to be, two or three times a year, you kind of pretend to be German.
Gotta be German.
As a my mom did the 23andMe, and it was basically like, yeah, Irish, English, Scottish, Welsh, some Scandinavian, but that sure. was like, but you know, just basically like
a little of everything,
you know, as a guy with that, who, you know, once a year has to put on the lederhosen and tap kegs, you're deeply German yeah. about two or three times yeah. a year in Wisconsin.
That's very true.
So can you tell me a little bit about the dollars on the ceiling?
Hey, the dollars on the ceiling started probably 20 years ago, I'm guessing. I had a bartender that used to work at Bumgarner's in Monroe.
Yeah.
They had been doing it for quite a while prior, and she asked if she could throw some dollars on the ceiling, because mm-hmm. our ceiling is a little bit higher than Bumgarner's.
There you go, a little more difficult.
A little more difficult, so she threw a few up there. And she kind of had the personality where she wasn't going to explain it to everybody.
Yeah.
So her response to what are the dollars doing on the ceiling, her response was, give me one, I'll show you. So, of course, you would hand her a dollar. She'd fold it up with a thumbtack, 50-cent piece, and throw it. And eventually I realized that my bartenders were spending more time throwing dollars on the ceiling than they were pouring beer, and that wasn't good for the bank account. So then we kind of transitioned to let the customer throw the dollar.
Yeah.
And then eventually the ceiling got so full that you'd throw one up, two would fall down. So we decided we needed to do something. So we harvested half of the dollars and we donated them to a charity. And start it over again. So we take down half the ceiling every spring, either the front or the back, so we don't lose the effect, because if they're all gone, yeah, then we got to start this whole thing over again.
Well, then you got to explain to people
and what we're doing and what they're going to look like.
Yeah.
So we just take down half. We donate it to a different charity. We started out with the big charities, and then we've transitioned over just for the sake of, seems to be a little more appreciated, the smaller groups. The park that we just developed in town here.
Yeah.
The chalet, the Golden Fleece, a museum in town here. The fire department gets a few of them, like every 5 years they get it, just because, first of all, they saved my building about 8 years ago. We had a fire.
Yeah.
And then second of all, they've got the ladders and the manpower, and they can do in 45 minutes what it takes me all day to accomplish.
So you come and grab them down, yeah,
you can have them.
You can have them. Well, let's talk a little bit about that. And you know, it's one of those things when, you know, when you're a kid, you think, oh, the fire department, right? They just, you know, every town has a fire department, and they just come, they put out fires. And then you move to like a small town, and you're like, oh, no. People volunteer, and yeah. our fire department, we have a great volunteer fire department here in New Glarus, but when there is a fire, they got to pull from, you know, Belleville, they got to pull from us. Like, basically everyone comes, yeah. and I remember the day Pimples caught fire, and how relieved everyone was when the morning came, and they were able to sort of localize the damage away from the tavern, right?
And they did that because of their skill and knowledge of the place. They knew on their way to the fire that it was in the men's bathroom, mm-hmm. and they needed to push it the opposite way to keep it out of the bar.
Yeah.
So they set up fans in the front and the back door, and they turned them around, blew the air in, filled the bar up with air, and push the fire away from the bar. So the air was almost constantly clear in the bar.
Yeah.
But the back room, the kitchen, the upstairs apartment was totally gutted. But we had 7 different communities here by the time the fire was finally put out. They needed that much help because it's a 100-year-old building. It gets into the walls and the crawl spaces, and there were a lot of nervous hours that passed that night.
I bet, and it just like sort of solidifies, you know, no matter how much history's behind something, right? Like just, you know, one wire or one spark,
and it was actually one modern ceiling fan
that
caused the problem. I mean, that's what was mind-boggling to me.
It's not like the 150-year-old wiring in the building.
No, not at all. It was
that's grandfathered probably past a million codes.
Probably a 5-year-old ceiling fan.
Yeah, something from Home Depot.
And we were lucky to even spot it because my stepson was out in the backyard with his dog and happened to notice through the window in the men's bathroom that I've gotten a lot of grief about having a window in the men's bathroom, but he spotted the flames through the window and came running in and tried to put it out while we called the fire department.
See, now if anyone asks you why you have a window in the men's room,
it's still there. They don't criticize me at all about having it there now.
It ain't going nowhere.
No, part of my fire protection system.
Window's nickname now is Lucky.
Yes. But it was, you know, when you think about the small town fire department again, going back to that, there was probably 100 firemen there at one time, and there wasn't one of them making a nickel.
No.
For the work they were putting into it.
No, I mean, all volunteer around here. All volunteer.
And when we got done, it was about midnight when they finally decided they had it out. They brought in a couple of lawn chairs, and two of the volunteers slept at the bar all night, set their alarms to go off every hour just to make sure that it was totally extinguished. So it was an amazing job.
Yeah, and that just goes to show the importance of these establishments to these communities, you know, because you lose a place like that and you think, oh, well, I guess I'll go down the street or I guess someone else will come. Yeah. But you're losing a lot more than just a spot to pull up a stool and have a beer after work on Friday. You're losing a part of a real part of the community, you know.
And during that night, never once did I think about having to rebuild it.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, it can't be.
Oh, you can't. Yeah.
You're going to have to sell that piece of property and make it an insurance office or something, because there's no way you could replicate pimples.
No, I mean, there's just too many years to it.
Yeah.
There's too many, there's too many ghosts in the wall for that, you know?
There is.
So when you bought it from Otto Pimple, what was your years leading up to that? What were you up to?
Well, I attended bar at the New Glarus Hotel part-time, mm-hmm. but I was working at the car dealership in town.
Yeah.
And I had worked across the street from Pimple's when that Blumenladen was a Chrysler dealer. And that's another example of a car dealership that just got converted into a garden center.
Yeah, it's beautiful in there, too. Oh,
beautiful.
Man.
And then we moved out to the old Chevrolet garage out by the high school. And I was working there, and I was living 18 feet out the back door of Pimple's. And Otto was just a very good neighbor. Otto was, to describe Otto, I would say if you were trying to design a grandfather from the ground up, he would be what you'd end up with.
Yeah.
And when he started talking about retiring, I knew I had to do something.
So yeah.
I opted to keep my regular job and run it as a hobby.
Gotcha.
And there are probably no better hobbies that exist than running a tavern.
No. I mean,
it was awesome. I had terrific employees that ran it while I was at work. I had I would come in the morning, clean the place, do the till, go to work, come back after work or at lunch, and just make sure it was running.
Yeah, just make sure the
lights were on.
Yeah, the lights were on, and money was still coming
still
in.
Still coming in.
Yeah.
And at the time, I had thought, well, I'll do this for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll have to do something. And it became 28 years, and I just finally retired from the dealership 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So now it's back to being a hobby.
So now it's your full-time
now
hobby
it
again.
Now it is my hobby.
Well, that I really love that you had the forethought when you know retirement sneaks up on everybody, right?
It does very quickly.
Very quickly. You open your eyes one day and you're like, Christ, what happened to all them years I was promised? Yeah. Like, oh, I guess I lived them.
I lived them somehow.
But when someone has something that dates back that far and they're thinking about retiring, I mean, there's no guarantee it goes on the way it was moving forward.
No, there isn't.
So you'd have the forethought to basically say, you know, I value this the way it is. And the only way I can guarantee it's going to stay the way it is if I do something about it.
If I do it.
Yeah. So, you know, you think of like an alternative reality where, like, you know, if anyone else buys that bar, who the heck knows, you know, what happens?
And now it's reality. I mean, it's in sight of eventually it's going to have to change hands.
Yeah.
But I've kind of come to the thought now that I'll just be there until I'm not there. You know, retirement is this.
Yes, it's your retirement.
And I've transitioned into spending most of the time sitting at the bar, visiting with people. And
that's got to be a great reward. You know what I mean? A great feeling having put so much work into something that, essentially was done for the love of it, for the right reasons. And now you get to kind of enjoy, you know, enjoy the community of it there. Yeah. So the sort of the synchronicity of Pimples and Nuglaris Brewing Company.
The year I purchased it was the same year that Dan and Deb started the brewery.
Yeah.
And so I always tell people that we started out at the same time. They just grew a little bit faster than me.
A little bit quicker.
And a little more dramatic.
Yeah. But for you, though, like, could you imagine, you know, three extra wings on Pimples? You know what I mean?
Or going up three more stories. Or starting all over somewhere. It's not going to happen. But I think we grew together really well.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You know, at the time when I bought it, we had two tap handles, and they were both Stroh's.
Yeah. They're all running the same keg.
And that was just because Otto was 80 years old, and if he ran out of beer on a Friday night,
He wasn't going
to change the barrel. He just switched over to the other handle and found probably somebody walking up the street the next day to help him change the barrel.
And if they ran out of the other barrel, then it was time to close.
So, you know, I don't know where I'd be without the Nuglaris Brewery, like right now. What would I have on tap?
Yeah.
What would I be promoting?
What would it look like?
It's so easy now because they work so well with me. You know, anybody that tours the brewery gets a token. They come into any of the bars downtown and get a free beer.
Yeah.
Well, those tokens are very, very nice.
Oh, yeah. And they get used.
And I assumed when they went from paper to the fancy little token, I probably wouldn't see many anymore.
Oh, because you keep a keepsake.
They keep them.
Yeah.
But a free beer is a free beer.
You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and he's like, well, you know, one of my philosophies is like, you don't turn down a free sandwich.
No.
Next meal's not guaranteed to anybody.
It's not guaranteed. I have a lot of husbands and wives will come in and they'll argue about the token. He wants to keep his for a ball marker to go golfing, and he ends up getting the beer from her token. And,
well, that's a classic husband move right there.
It works good. He's still got his ball marker.
Husbands do tend to want to have their cake and eat it too.
A lot of times get it.
Well, yeah, you know, we can be just kind of bullheaded that way. But Deb was telling me, I was telling her, I was coming to talk to you. She often tells the story about Dan coming out here, you know, down to Wisconsin, try to find a place to set up shop and, you know, calling her and saying, well, I was driving down to Monroe and I passed this town and it had a perfect building. It was everything we were looking for. And she goes, well, what's the number? And, you know, I didn't write it down. And she said, one of the places she ended up calling was Pimples, and she believes she ended up talking to you.
Yeah, it was like it was fate.
Yeah,
I mean to have them in Monticello, Belleville, Argyle, maybe wouldn't have worked.
Who knows? I mean, and that's the thing. Like when you think about like you know just you know how you know trippy decisions can sort of be like, Yeah, what if they just never got the phone number?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Or like, if the guy didn't answer.
Oh, yeah.
Or he was against beer drinking.
Or the people in Mount Horn were like, nicer when they called them.
Yeah. I'm not selling my building to somebody that's going to make beer in it. You know, yeah. There are people out there maybe like that, you know. So, but it was fate. It just worked out very, very well.
So you're a lifelong New Glarus resident, right?
I was born here, yep.
Born and raised in New Glarus. What has the shift been like since 93 with the sort of the town, you know, the brewery growing slowly at first and then sort of taking off like a rocket and the town sort of adjusting to that? Because like no one could have predicted
that.
Yeah.
Nobody.
I doubt very much someone in New Glarus is like, oh, they're opening a brewery on 69.
This is going to work really well.
Yeah, this is going to be the biggest crap brewery in the state. And
I never heard that said by anybody.
That would have been a unique sentence in 1993.
New Glarus was, you know, sort of familiar with tourism because years back we had... It was a tourist destination. We had the embroidery factory that people, when moms and grandmas still sewed, they drove 100 miles to buy material in New Glarus.
Really?
To make their wedding dresses for their granddaughters or daughters. It was the only place around you could get like the Swiss lace.
Gotcha.
So if you were working in a German restaurant in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
You drove to New Glarus to get the material to make your German-looking costumes dresses.
Yeah, for to, work. Like, make dirndls and stuff. And
I remember, you know, back in the probably 60s, buses, we would have 5-6 buses in town every day of the week. They were mostly elderly people, retired, wanted a place to go for the day, so they would bring them to New Glarus. They could go to the embroidery factory.
Have you guys heard of the Swiss town? Let's go check it out.
Let's go shopping downtown New Glarus.
Yeah.
And then that was really, really starting to taper away in the 80s.
Gotcha.
Because of the fact that your casinos came along.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They offered these retired people a choice. You could either go to New Glarus
and check out the fabric,
and you can climb up and down the hills by foot, or we'll take you to the casino. We'll drop you off at the front door. We'll give you a free meal and $10 to gamble.
And we'll come back in a couple hours.
Yep. And the buses just started tapering away and going away. And the town was kind of starting to scramble as to what are we going to do, because we're mostly tourism here. I mean, we've got a lot of restaurants. There aren't enough locals to support.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the funny thing. You look on town, it's like, how does a town of 1,200 have 5 restaurants?
So we were, you know, starting to scramble at that. And then along comes Deb and Dan and revitalized, started the whole thing all over again. And it wasn't instant.
No.
I mean, the first couple of years, I'm not sure if I had probably half my taps were New Glarus.
Well, they always say that you were always very, you know, kind in the beginning.
Well, why not
carry the beer?
I always said, you got a gift here, you might as well use it.
Yeah,
you know, take it. But it took a little bit of time. But then when they came with a little coupon that you could get a free beer if you toured the brewery and. And it was handy. I mean, back in the day, if I ran out of beer, I just called somebody that I knew that worked at the brewery, and they'd meet me there on a Sunday afternoon. And
yeah, Bob's your uncle. There you go.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
In fact, I had a cousin that worked in the office here for many, many years, Betty. She was with them right from the beginning. I didn't even know she was a cousin until I was over here one day to talk to Deb, and there she was.
That's funny.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. But they just grew unbelievably fast, and it worked. That's all about all I can say about it is it worked.
It really did. And it's funny you bring up something like, you know, not knowing your cousins and stuff working here. My dad's from Boston, and we used to go up there every you know, every couple, every year for Easter, we'd see grandma and grandpa, that sort of thing. And then you start hearing other family names like, oh yeah, the Wilkies and the Winnickies and the whoever. Yeah, you're related to all of them. And then you start seeing like how many people have those that last name. You're like, you mean I got like 20 some cousins I never even met up there?
Don't even know.
Don't even really know. No. I remember my grandma passed away and we went to the funeral. I was like, who the hell are all these people?
Yeah.
But exactly. You know, it's like the families are kind of like that. You know, you have cousins and stuff and they all kind of, you know, you end up kind of compartmentalized and everyone
Social
visits
media
at different times.
Might help
bring
this back together. But
maybe
when I was growing up, we had two family reunions. We had one in Mount Vernon and one in Verona, and Dad wouldn't take us to either of them because he was afraid he was going to go to the wrong one. Because somewhere back in the day, there must have been something that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Because you wouldn't have two Bigler reunions in two different towns.
If there wasn't some sort of drama at some point.
And you walk in on the wrong one, you might not walk out. So.
Well, I mean, that you know, you've seen a lot of history in this small town, you know?
I have. And
it's funny when you travel around, you talk to people and you say, I don't know if I'd ever want to live in a small town. And, you know, I personally liked it because there's just so many funny, unique and interesting people and stories and things that happen around here. And, you know, one of my all time favorite things is just is the fact that your bar and your tavern is seriously just like a time capsule that you can walk into, sit at a wooden bar, get into a conversation with someone,
hence
you know,
our step back in time slogan.
Yeah.
And it is, you know.
And it's like you're doing everything right. Like, you want some food? All right, cool. We got some cold sandwiches. We'll make you a sandwich. We got some we got chips and sandwiches. We got, you know, pretzels and stuff
and
like that.
And that all came about because we can't have a grill or a deep fryer because of the murals.
Yeah.
So we had to get creative. And that's why, like, our cheese curds are fresh, unbreaded cheese curds.
Oh, yeah.
They aren't deep fried.
Well, yeah, and it feels like sitting down at a tavern in like 1960 or 1970 or 1950. It's like it has an air of preservation to it that just feels very cool when you're in there.
Speaking of the small town thing, mm-hmm. I've got an interesting story. I had a, you know, in New Glarus, I knew everybody.
Yeah.
And when I was on the fire department, we didn't have street numbers. We didn't have addresses. When we had a fire call, it was, oh, it's at the old Classy farm, or it's that house next to the mayor.
Three clicks down, take a left at the Naughty Tree.
Yeah, we just knew everybody.
Yeah.
And if a bridge was bad going into a driveway, we knew about it. But I had a couple in the bar a few years ago, and they were sitting at the bar. And I always ask everybody, where are you from? I just, sometimes I come across as very nosy, but I want to know where they.
And if they're from here, you already know them.
I already know them.
Yeah.
So this couple said, well, we're from St. Charles, Illinois.
Gotcha.
And I said, oh, the lady that runs the antique store next door, they came here from St. Charles. And as I said that, a couple that was sitting at a table behind them said, well, we're from St. Charles and Illinois. And yep. Well, they started talking together, and it turns out that their duplex backyards butted up against each other.
And oh, that's hilarious.
They had both lived there for 5 years, had never met each other. And now they come back every year as a two couples, and they stay at the Land House every year. That's their trip to New Glarus.
That's so awesome.
And it was unbelievable. I mean, that you got that for me to even think that they lived backyards butting each other for 5 years and didn't even know them.
Well, it's really funny. I'm from Northern Illinois, like probably 20, 30 minutes from like a St. Charles,
sure.
You know, about 30 minutes south of Rockford. And, you know, when I think about the difference between the two states, because there are differences in places you live.
Oh, yeah.
Wisconsin has more of an inquisitiveness about the people around them. They're your neighbors, the people walking down your street. You people in Wisconsin tend to seem to notice people more. Yeah. Like they'll get to know someone. When I was in Illinois, it was like
they avoided it.
It kind of avoided. Yeah.
You didn't want to know anything.
Yeah. Unless you have to, you know, unless I got to bother that guy over
and
something.
And if you're a Bear fan or a Cub fan, that's about all you wanted to know about each other.
Yeah, exactly.
That was enough to know.
Yeah, no one really got too deep with it. No, so I could definitely see like, oh yeah, you could totally be next. You could live in the next apartment. You could like literally live in the next apartment over and not know your neighbor.
But I they come back, you know, every year, and I talk to them, and we still laugh about that, how we would have never met this couple if we both wouldn't have happened to go to the brewery, get our tokens, and be in your bar for a free beer. We would have never known who you were. And that's just amazing. It makes you feel good.
Yeah. Then they go back to Illinois and they don't hang out.
No, not at all.
Well, Chuck, this has been absolutely fascinating and just a fantastic conversation. Is there any other history of Pimples you want known or anything like that?
It's probably about 3 hours. Yeah. We don't have time.
Yeah, just the bar fights alone. Well, he's probably pretty peaceful in there.
That is pretty peaceful. We haven't had one that I can even remember. It's just a fun atmosphere.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what New Glarus is all about. It's you want it to be a nice place to come and visit. And
yeah. Well, if you know, anyone out there listening, find yourself a New Glarus, go to the brewery, get yourself a drink token and go say hi to Chuck at Pimples, man. And you will not regret it. That bar is, you know, I have frequented some establishments in my day. I have frequented some establishments and I have two places that I love to have a beer sort of on top of any other places. One is in the courtyard up at the hill on a Hilltop Brewery in New Glarus. And there's this one of them green benches just sort of set in just the right spot to where you can look out over. Amazing view over the land. And the other is sitting in Pimples. And you just don't beat it. As far as taverns go, as far as, you know, with quintessential Wisconsin bars go, you just kind of don't beat Pimples. It's absolutely amazing.
I appreciate that a lot.
You have yourself a good one, Chuck.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely no problem.